Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Give it up for these guys one more time, okay? Coming back to the heart of worship. The heart of worship. Did you feel it this morning in the house? Just simplicity, going back to the simple. You know, we just got up some planting stages this week, and I cannot tell you how excited I am over Easter. This could be the best Easter we've ever had. This could be the one coming up. We're so excited about what we have planned for you, and it should be good. Bring some tissues with you. You're going to be touched. It's going to be just wonderful. And then I got equally excited because we talked about a series we're going to start right after Easter, and I'm real excited about the series. We don't know what we'll call it yet, but the idea is, why we believe what we believe. Why do we believe what we believe? Why do we believe that way? So a lot of people don't know that we have reasons in Scripture behind what we believe. And so that series will be starting after Easter. And you hear about the two baseball players. They were arguing one day about would there be baseball in heaven. And they got into a heated argument. And so finally they said, look, if one of us dies before the other, we'll ask God if we can come back and answer this question for the other one. Deal done. One baseball player dies, comes back in the middle of the night, and appears in the guy's bedroom and says, I'm back. He's, why, what? You're scaring me to death. No, I told you I'd come back. You want to know if there's baseball in heaven? Well, I've got good news and bad news. The good news is, yes, there's baseball in heaven. You ought to see the stadium. The bad news, you're scheduled to start pitching Thursday morning. So, both good and bad. Father God, let this sermon be better than my joke. Anointed in Jesus' name. We're continuing this series. We've probably got two or three more sermons in this series. And today, we're going to talk about life is transitional. Transitional. Let's look at the basic definition of transition. It's to leave something behind and look forward to something else. Now, change in life is inevitable. Yet change in life is one of the things that people fear the most. They like to stay in their comfort zone. They like to, you know, stay where it's comfortable and cozy. You can't avoid change. Children, someday, they grow up, they turn into adults, and they have to go out and get a job. And they have to go out and get their own house and live on their own. And it just happens. Then people get married, and boy, does life change. God had this great plan of putting two sinners under one roof and says, now work it out. I'm going to shape you into Jesus, man. And then when we go into marriage, that changes your life. And then we're married, and then we have small kids. We have babies, and that's a change in life that you can't avoid. Changes you totally. And then we all lose loved ones. Man, that's the pits, but it's going to happen. You can't avoid it. And that's a transitional time in life. We experience the empty nest syndrome and can't be avoided. Someday, there's going to be no more games to go to. There's going to be no more people in the house that need help with their homework. Someday, it's going to be, you know, no more family dinners. It's just going to happen. And unfortunately, for some of us, in the next year or two, we're going to be diagnosed with health problems. And that's going to cause changes in your lifestyle. And again, it's unhelpable to a degree. Now, transition is how we adapt to these things. And our success in life will be determined by how we handle the transitions. Now, see, we see people all the time that don't handle transitions well. They don't handle the change of life well. We know about men in midlife crisis. There are some men that look at their life, they see it passing them by, and it's like their candle is burning low, and they try to recreate their youth again. And some men make horrible decisions. They leave their spouse, leave their family, go for a younger woman, and they mess up their finances, mess up their reputation, all because they're not embracing that change called age. Usually, but not always, God is preparing us for these transitions. I mean, when you get to be 18, 19, or 20, you have to realize that God is preparing you for adulthood. And you're going to get out there on your own. And we have teachers helping us and parents helping us and college counselors helping us. Someone, the other day I was listening to them, and they were comparing what I'm talking about today to childbirth and midwives. Childbirth. We're in the womb for 9 months, and we get comfortable in that womb. And man, it's where we're secure at. And we like it there. And then all of a sudden around the 9th month, it starts getting uncomfortable. It starts getting crowded. And we go, man, I don't like it in here anymore. I've got to get out of here and on and on. And then comes the birthing process. Now in that birthing process, usually we have midwives or we have doctors or nurses to help us through it. And I look at some of you today and you didn't get where you're at alone. Someone helped you. Someone at some point in your life gave you opportunities. Someone gave you favor. Someone showed interest in you. And all along our life's journey, we're going to have God anointing those people. They're going to come alongside of us and help us give birth to these new things that God is preparing us for. As you sit here today, right now, you're being prepared for something. I don't know what it is, but I told my wife last year, I said, something new's coming. I don't know what it is. God's birthing something new in me. And here I'm an older guy, and I'm going to give birth to something new. I don't know what it is, but I'm excited about it. My wife knows that when I say this, something's going to happen. 3 years before I did Vegas, I said something new. And all of a sudden, man, 3 years later, we gave birth to that baby over there who's now turned into a young adult of about 1,300 people. But God's preparing us. It's like that story I told you. Didn't I tell you 2 weeks ago about the cats on the roof and won't come down? Didn't I tell you that? I didn't tell you that? I've lived by this for years, and I didn't tell you. It's old. But now stop me if I told you, because I preach so many places sometimes I forget. But a guy left his cat with his brother on vacation. I didn't tell you that. Okay? He leaves his cat with his brother on vacation, and he goes away. And so he calls home to check on his cat, and his brother said, your cat died. He said, my cat died. You just kind of blurted out, my cat's died. You can't ease into the subject matter a little bit. So what do you want me to do? You should say, maybe when I called home, that the cat's on the roof, and we can't get it down. And then I'll call back a day later, too, and you say, the cat's still on the roof, and we can't get him down. Call back a day later, well, the cat's still on the roof and it won't come down. It looks like it probably won't come down. And then the next day you tell him he's dead. He's okay, that's the way you want, that's the way we'll do it. So the next year he goes on vacation and he calls home. He says, how's mom? So she's on the roof and she won't come down. I didn't tell you that. I can't believe that. Well, see, that kind of prepares us. I use that. I use that in life. It's not just a joke. I use it all the time. I'll go out of the house and Debbie will say, man, you got to let that person go. I think I'm going to let him go. I said, use the cats on the roof, okay? Kind of slowly break it to them. And so God's preparing us for transition. No joke. You talk about a neat God story. I was supposed to be in Las Vegas today. And the Holy Spirit said no. And so I was going to send somebody over there to speak. And then we have this guy in our staff over named Russell. And he's got a good speaking voice. And he's been with us for years. He came to me when I started that church in Durango. And I called Russell and I said, I talked to Doug, Pastor Doug first. I said, I want to train him to speak. So I said, you know what? You're going to speak this Sunday. He said, really? I've always wanted to do this. It's so cool. Well, you're going to speak. You're going to write me your sermon. I'm going to work with you on it. You're going to speak. And he said, Pastor, it's so crazy. This Sunday. He said, last night, my wife had a dream. And she woke up and said, I had a dream last night, and all I remember is God said, it's time, it's time. And I said, you know what that dream is about now, don't you? It's time. And so God's preparing you for that stage of life where you're going to have children at. You have 9 months of pregnancy, and you have baby showers, and you go to classes. God's preparing you. Sometimes in a marriage, you're walking in the Spirit and you go, my spouse is restless and something's going on. They're not serving the Lord anymore. The Lord's preparing you for something that might be coming. Job insecurities, you start hearing things and God's preparing you. Older age, I mean, our bodies start changing and all of a sudden we go, what'd you say? Beg your pardon? And then we start wearing these things. I never thought I'd wear these things. And, you know, we start forgetting things. And the body starts kind of wearing out. And God's preparing you for transition. Someone once compared that to an electric blanket. As long as the blanket's warm, you stay in bed. But when it gets turned off, you start in the cold spots, you get out of bed. And so God's preparing us. Now, I want to look at a passage of Scripture this morning. And I want to specifically address transitional phases in the here and now. And I'd like to end up saying a little bit about the ultimate transition to heaven. We'll see if we have time. I'm going to look at the book of Joshua. Before I do, look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled faces behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. He's changing us. We used to sing that song, from glory to glory, he's changing me, from earthly things to heavenly. See, for Christians, it's real easy to change and give up bad things to go to good things. But it says here, he's going to change us and have us give up good things in order to get better things. Wow, now that's not, it's not so easy to let go of good things to get better things. It's like you're in a trapeze in the air and you got to let go of something good to get something better. But we're always in change. Now, again, I'm going to take the first six chapters of Joshua and I'm just going to just briefly paraphrase them. I'll read a few verses. I'm not going to take you through it all because I'm watching the clock. And last service, I preached not a whole long time. So stay with me. Look at Joshua 1, 1 and 2. Now, it came about after the death of Moses. Now, after the death of Moses, there's going to be transition. Now, some of you are just one email away, one cell phone call away from transition. See, all of a sudden, Moses is dead. And the Lord spoke to Joshua. Now, I've said this before, but I'll repeat it. Prepare yourself for your big break in life. Joshua prepared himself. He was a student of Moses. And now when the big break came, he was ready. So after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Arise to the occasion. My servant's dead. Joshua, it's your moment, baby, to rise and shine. He says, arise and cross this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I'm giving to them and to the sons of Israel. So, when change calls your name, be ready. Stay ready. Live ready. Now, that's why I emphasize, and we emphasize here at Valley Bible, walking in the Spirit so much. God knows what lies around the corner for you tomorrow. God knows. Say with me, God knows. He does know. He knows exactly what's going to happen to you tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen to you next week. And right now, he's preparing you for it. If you just look in the Spirit, he knows what's coming around the corner. Elijah, he knew that God was coming after him. When he was going out to meet the chariot, he told Elisha, I said, stay here. He knew. Stay with me. He knew. David knew he was going to be king. That's what allowed him to endure in the wilderness. He knew. God had prepared him. Paul was prepared for what lie ahead. God told him. Let's look at a few verses here real quickly. Ephesians 5:8 in the Message. It says, you groped your way through that murk once, but no longer. You're out in the open now. The bright light of Christ makes your way plain. Wow. Look at Psalms 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet. How many times have we said it? A lamp just shines right down here. It's not a spotlight. See, some of you are not connecting the dots. You're never getting to where God wants you to go because you're not connecting the dots. You're looking to see 100 feet down the path, and God will never do that. He'll show you one step at a time. Connect the dots. That's a rhema. So the word is a lamp to my feet, and it's a light to my path. Look at Matthew 4:4 in the Message. Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy It takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of the words from God's mouth. Look at Romans 8:14. For all who have been led by the Spirit of God, these are the mature sons of God. Not everybody's being led by the Spirit. This last week, what kind of things did you do only because the Spirit was telling you to do them? That's being led by the Spirit. And I can teach you how to do that. Isaiah 43:18-19. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I'll do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Look at verse 4 in Joshua 1. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. In other words, what's he saying? He's saying this transitional thing I'm taking you into has boundaries. Just worry about the stuff within your boundaries. I'll take care of the rest. You don't have to worry. See, I live on about an acre, and my lawn is very manicured, very, very nice. And I can walk to the west, and there's a curb that separates my yard from the neighbor's yard. I don't have to worry about the neighbor's yard if his grass is green or dying. I don't have to worry. That's his responsibility. My only responsibility is my yard. And I'm here to tell you today, when God leads you into this new land, you're just responsible for a few things. Outside of that, God will take care of everything else. See, God says, where I'm taking you, there are boundary lines. Look at verse 3, 5, and 6. It says, every place on which the sole of your feet treads, I've given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Oh, I like that. That's a promise for us. I'm telling you now, no man will stand against me all the days of my life. When it's God's will, it's going to come about. I like that. Just as I've been with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Put your big boy pants on. In the Hebrew, you know what that means? It means be a man. Be a man. For you shall give the people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Play the man. It's time to grow up. This is not just about you. You're going to give it to the people, man. And look at verse 7 and 8. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, you shall quote the word of God all the time. Hello, there's a little secret of the kingdom right there. But you shall meditate on the word of God day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Stay close. God's going to guide you by his word. Again, I get disappointed over some of you because we have all these groups meeting all during the week and there's words coming forth, there's confirmations, and we have men's groups, 10 or 15 guys meeting at Starbucks, 10 or 15 guys meeting here with Pastor Hector, 20 meeting with Pastor Al. They're meeting everywhere. Nicole Dickey even has a Bible study online on Tuesday mornings. And women's groups are meeting. I'm telling you, when you go to those groups, God will be meeting you there and guiding you with his word and with his spirit. It's unbelievable. Please, some of you are being prepared to get in a group. You say, well, I don't know if I need it. But they need you. They need your wisdom. They need you. God's speaking to somebody right now, I know. See, again, it's redundant, but where two or three are gathered together, God said, I'm in their midst in like a way you never see at any other time. Some of you are living this alone. You're never in the midst of two or three gathered together. Verse 10 and 11, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself. In other words, get ready. You're in a transitional period. You know you are. Get ready for what lies ahead. Like right now, I'm trying to pay my bills all off. I'm trying to pay bills off. I don't know what lies ahead, but I don't need any bills over my head. So I'm praying that God will show me how. Prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days, there's a time element, within 3 days you're going to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess it. Now, jump to 2 and 1, then I'm going to begin to make the turn. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, sent 2 men as spies secretly from Shittim, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came into the house of harlot, whose name was Rahab, and lodged there. First PowerPoint I want to give you, and I'm going to give them to you real quickly. The first one is this right here. Search out the land. Search out the land. See, change is inevitable. Say with me, change is inevitable. So stop griping about it. Yes, you're going to age. Yes, your back's going to start hurting. Yes, you're going to have eye problems. Yes, you're going to age, and all this stuff is inevitable. Embrace it instead of fighting it. I mean, kids will leave home, hopefully. I have a rhema right now. It's time to ask them to leave. They're 32 years old, you know. You will age. Stop trying to be 20. You're not 20 anymore. You're going to age. Embrace it. Make it beautiful. Health problems will come. Laws are going to be passed that you don't like. Unfortunately, you're going to lose loved ones. It's going to happen. So here's the deal. Search out the land. Find people that are already where you're going and get counsel from them. Let them help you. I got a rhema right now. I don't know who this is for. You're too proud for help. You're too proud to be helped. You want other people help you because you're too proud. That's not good, because sometimes God will close all doors off. He'll close every door because he wants you to ask for help. None of us are too proud to ask for help. A few months ago, I went to Pastor Doug and Vicky's house in Vegas. I said, help me right now. I'm going through something and I still don't know how to get out of it. And God told me, he said, you need to do this. I'm going to close the door. You need to do this. You need people in your life. So find these people. Jerry Cook, a pastor I used to follow before he died up in Oregon, he went through open heart surgery, and one day a lady in the congregation said, my elderly dad has heart problems. He's going to have to go through heart surgery, and he wants to see you, and I don't know why he wants to see you. I have no idea. And so the day of the appointment came, the older man came in and just sat there looking at Pastor Jerry, and Pastor Jerry said, well, what do you want? What do you want? He said, would you do me a big favor? He said, what's that? Would you take off your shirt and show me the scar? Please. So Jerry, odd request, but he took his shirt off, and he said, I'm going to go. That's all I needed. I just needed to see someone who went through this and came out the other side. That's all I needed. See, the empty nest syndrome, career change. We got grief share groups. Somebody has been where you're going. Let them help you. Let them help you. A rhema. Listen to me closely. You're going through some stuff right now. And God has called you to be the prototype of success in the midst of a trial. He's called you to be the example. See, the trials you go through is not always just about you. Do you understand that? Somebody has to learn how to die good so they can encourage others. Somebody needs to go through divorce good. Somebody needs to lose a job and do it well. Someone needs to be the model, the prototype, so they can go along other Christians and say, here's how it's done. Here's what God showed me. Abraham was called into a transitional phase of his life. And God said, I'm going to bless you so that you'll bless others. Joshua had to rise to the position so he could lead the people into the land. So you got to be a model. Age well, die well, be a successful divorcee, be a successful griever. Find Christ in it. I mean, here's how you do it. You need, well, I don't have time to tell you how to do it. I was going to. You have to wait till next week. I looked at my notes and it says, don't go there. Okay. James 1 and 5, if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You say, didn't you read this last? I did, but I'm reading a couple of these again. You'll get his help, and you won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. So you're in a dilemma right now. Say, I'm going to be the model of this. I'm going to be the prototype. I'm going to go to God, and I'm going to do this well so I can go help others do this well. You guys did it well. You did it well. Show others how to do it. Be the prototype. Be the example. Be the model. Now, I'm going to paraphrase the next three points because I don't have time to take you to the scripture. The next PowerPoint says, let the priests lead the way. In the story, Joshua goes to the people and says, here's the deal. You're going to cross the Jordan tomorrow, but here's how we're going to do it. The priests are going to carry the Ark of the Covenant. They're going to go in the water first. When the priests go in the water first, the waters will split, and then you'll follow them on dry ground. Today, there's got to be a word to your pastors. I'm your pastor for most of you. And you know what? God has told me that I've got to go back to our roots. God's instructed me that people will not go deeper than you, and I'm going to take you deeper. Even at your age now, I'm taking you deeper, and you're going to see it. I'm going to lead the way. I'm going to lead the way. You're going to see a change. And so, lo and behold, he says, let the priests lead the way. See, God's going to get you through your transition by anointed words coming out of your pastors. And you're going to see it happen. That's why it grieves me sometimes when people miss church. Sometimes I'll preach a sermon and I'll go home and go, oh my gosh, it just dawned on me. That message was tailor-made for Mary and Joe. But Mary and Joe weren't at church today, and I'll call them or see them. They'll say, oh, we went to swap meet. No wonder you're not successful. No, what that word was tailor-made for you. Now, you can't always be at church. There's a lot of people staying at home today for the coronavirus. And again, the coronavirus, 81% of the cases are going to be mild, like a cold. That doesn't mean we don't take it seriously. We do take it seriously. So far, Kern County's not been hit hard, and we're appreciative of that. But if it does get bad and you want to stay at home, at least go to church, watch it on the internet if you don't feel good coming here. Personally, I'm okay with it, but we'll see. We'll see where it goes. So the Bible says, where two or more gather together, there I am in the midst of them. Some of you, because you live isolated lives, you are never in the Lord's presence in a two and three type thing. And that's where he's going to speak very, very loudly, more often than not. The next PowerPoint, praise your way to victory. It's so easy to fall into a complaining spirit. I'm telling you again and again, I'm going to have to do a whole sermon on it someday. There is power in praise. Amen. When you start praising God, all the resources of heaven are released toward you. When you start praising God, God gets really happy going, look at my child. He's praising me. She's praising me. Although things aren't going right. Well, you know what? I'm going to make them go right. And it might not be immediately. It might not be immediately. Praise your way to victory. See, it's so easy to fall into a complaining spirit. Ah, you know what? My back's hurting again this morning. I can't believe it. You know, a lot of old people, their faces start going like this. Have you seen them? My granddaughter, years ago, two or three, was in the, when she was smaller, several years ago, and she saw somebody that I know is real, and she says, man, that is like a mean person, Papa. I said, oh, they are. Go down the other aisle. That's a mean person. See, have you ever heard it said, why complain? Is it going to make things better? It's going to make them worse. Again, I'm not going to get off on this, but the city of Jericho stood between the people and the blessing. There will always be something between you and the blessing, always. Read the Bible. There's always something between you and the blessing. And usually it's a spiritual stronghold. And spiritual strongholds only come down through praise and authoritative prayer. That's the only way they come down. Now, God told Joshua, he said, I've given Jericho into your hands. The victory's already yours. March around it for 6 days. On the seventh day, march 7 times. And when the priests blow the trumpet, you start praising God. You start shouting to victory. And when you do, the walls will come down. Wow. See, he said, while you march for the first 6 days, don't talk to one another. It's going to be silence. Because he knew the people would discourage each other. And they would start complaining and they start expressing doubt. He said, that'll be contagious. Not going to allow you to talk until the day I tell you to praise God. Did you know, even as good Christians, we can become the devil's tool? We can discourage people. We got to watch our mouth. We got to be extremely, extremely careful. And so they shouted out, they praised God, the walls came down. About midnight, Paul and Silas were in prison. And they began singing and praising God. And there came an earthquake, and the foundation shook, and the prison doors came open through praise. Unbelievable. See, praise is like simple childlike faith. God, right now, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, but I praise you that you're on the throne. And I praise you that I'm the apple of your eye. I praise you, God, that you know what I'm going through. And you know what? My eyes are on you because you love me, Father. You're a good, good Father, a good, good God. And I'll tell you what, that'll put him in motion. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Psalms 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song, I praise him. Now, I want to talk to you real briefly in closing. Right now, as the people of God, we're being prepared for the biggest transition in the history of this world. We're going home to be with Jesus pretty quick. I wished I had time to get into prophecy. I'm a prophecy buff, but almost every sign for Bible prophecy that is supposed to appear before the coming back of Jesus has already appeared, or it's about to appear. It's unbelievable. Do you understand the birth pains we're going through right now? All of a sudden, I don't like this world. I cannot believe some of the things our world is doing today. And I groan. And the Lord said, it's par for course. I'm going to take you home. We're being prepared for the biggest transition that this universe has ever seen. Now, whether it's by rapture or by death, we're being prepared for another life. See, someday, our body is going to start breaking. And our earthly body will no longer be able to be used for God's glory. And when that happens, he'll release us from the body. We're on this earth to bring glory to God, to be part of his family. And the body's going to break. It's got a short shelf life. And when God looks down and says, you know what, your body's too far shot. I can't use it anymore. I'll just release you from that body and take you home. So you can live in heaven. Now, the Bible says that if our earthly tent is torn down, we have a body in heaven. See, the body we have now won't adapt to heaven. Astronauts, when NASA sends astronauts up into space, I was told, I don't know if this is true, that if we didn't have a suit, a different suit on our body, we went to outer space at about 85,000 feet or 100,000 feet or whatever, when you get up there, that the chemicals in your body would start boiling and oozing out through your skin. You have to have another suit in order to live in that realm. Now, heaven is such a gas. I mean, did you realize heaven? I'm going to say something in a second, it's going to make sense. Time and space continuum, as we know it today, doesn't work in heaven. See, we're told, and some people disagree with this, but many do, if we had time to get into the theory of relativity, which I can't understand all of that, someone once asked Albert Einstein about the theory of relativity. I said, how many people really understand this? He said, only two in the world. It's me, and we haven't found the other one yet. But they say that it's possible that if you could travel at the speed of light, which is what, 186,000 miles per second, I think, if you could travel at the speed of light, that time would stand still. Now, many believe that because the time and space continuum doesn't work in heaven, there is no future, no past, that we're actually already in heaven with our loved ones. We're already there. Because it'd be hard for heaven to be heaven if we were looking down here, we're already there. And then if that's not even true, we know a day's a thousand years, a thousand years is a day. When we lose someone to death, if a thousand years is a day's a thousand years, we say, will they miss us? Well, if you live 20, 30 more years from now, it's like they'll miss you for 15 minutes. That's not much. Look real quickly as we close, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-14. But we do not want you to be uninformed. What does it say? Now, let this stick in your mind. We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Unfortunately, sometimes we have to do non-believers' funerals, and it just wears you out. The emotions, they don't have any hope like we have. They haven't been taught the way we've been taught. And just the grief and the pain is overwhelming. Yet when we do a Christian's funeral, there's a grieving there, but it's a whole different kind of grieving because we have the blessed hope. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:1-5. It says, for instance, we know that when these bodies of ours are taken down like tents and folded away, they'll be replaced by resurrection bodies in heaven. God made, not handmade. And we'll never have to relocate our tents again. Sometimes we can hardly wait to move, and so we cry out in frustration. Compared to what's coming, living conditions around here seem like a stopover in an unfinished shack. And we're tired of it. We've been given a glimpse of the real thing, our true home, our resurrection bodies. The Spirit of God whets our appetite by giving us a taste of what's ahead. He puts a little heaven in our hearts so that we'll never, ever settle for less. See, he tells us here in 1 Thessalonians, I do not want you to be ignorant of your loved ones and where they went after they died. I don't want you to be ignorant. Now think of it. There's only 4 times in Scripture where we're told not to be ignorant. In Corinthians, we're told, do not be ignorant of spiritual gifts. And then we're told not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. And then we're told not to be ignorant of the nation Israel, how they're God's chosen, and don't be ignorant of heaven. What are the 4 things the church is most ignorant about today? Spiritual gifts, Satan's devices, about Israel's God's promised kids, and about heaven. We won't even talk about Satan. How, you know, we're ignorant of these things. People of God and Joshua went through 3 stages, and I'm going to end with this, and it had to do with diet. When they were in slavery, they ate onions, leeks, and garlic. You know what onions and leeks and garlic do to you? They make you stink. They were consuming a diet that made them stinky, made life stinky. The only other people want to be around you when you're eating garlic is other people who are eating garlic. I'm in the gym sometimes and I go, whoa, please move. So they were at a life where they were taking in a diet that made them stink. And then they got out of slavery and went into the wilderness, and they ate manna. Their diet was manna, and manna in the Hebrew means, what is it? So you go from living a stinky life into this life of discovery in the Spirit, and you go, what is baptism? What is devotions? What is worship? What is small groups? What is hearing God? What is demons? You're in this age of discovery, and then from there you go over into the promised land where you eat the fruit of the land. And that stuff that comes naturally organic. You don't have to work for it. And you start living in the Spirit. And that is the sweet spot. Each came with a struggle. Each came with a birthing. Each came with transition. I've got to end. What is God preparing you for right now? What's He preparing you for? Transition. You can choose. It's either horrible or you can embrace it and say, change is coming. And you know what? Me and God together, we've got this. We've got it. Change is coming to Valley Bible Fellowship. You already saw a little part of it in worship this morning. Change is coming. And I'm excited. And you should be excited. People on the internet should be excited. Let's pray this right here. Father God, I thank you that our life is full of changes. And change is not a bad thing, although most people fear it. Lord, don't let us stay in our comfort zone. It's time for some of us today to come out of our comfort zone and go to the next level of growth. The next level of growth. You can't have it in your comfort zone. And the Lord's so gracious, He takes us to another level of growth, and it's a little uncomfortable, but He lets us live there for a year, 2 years, 3 years, four, five. He lets us live there, and then after we live there for a while, He orders another step of growth. That's the process. So transition isn't bad. Embrace it. Today, some of you need to be born again. Ask the Lord to send the Holy Spirit, come live in your body, and start the journey. And you can do that up here with these prayer warriors. You can do it at home. You can do it in your bathroom. Just say, Lord, I surrender to You today. Send the Holy Spirit and make me new. Let the journey begin. Love you to death. Be careful out there. Keep washing your hands. And even more than that, watch the cars at the stoplight. Count to three before you go through. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.